Hello everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast with me, Johnny Walsh. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to wherever you're listening from. I hope the Bochum song at the start hasn't put you off already. We have plenty of goals, games, and decisions, and questions as well to get through, so let's get started with Fortuna's trip to Regensburg on Friday evening. I hope you'll sit back, relax, and enjoy the programme. And so it is to Regensburg that we head, where Fortuna, who were cruising after 15 minutes, 3 goals to the good thanks to Reuven Hennings, Benito Raman and Takashi Osami, found themselves on the wrong side of a 7-goal thriller. It was an incredible game from start to finish, plenty of controversial moments, especially and not least the winning goal that Sargis Adamyan managed to get for Jan, but it was only the fifth time in Zweite Bundesliga history that a team had come back from 3 goals down to win the game. But it was the joint second slowest out of 25 attempts and the 25 teams that have managed to do it to overturn a 3-goal deficit. I find that quite interesting, and I think, you know, if anything sums up the Zweite Bundesliga, it's the fact that 45 minutes to overturn a 3-goal deficit of the teams that have done it is the joint second slowest. I find that quite funny. But yeah, another great game from Regensburg, and Marco Gutner, Jonas Niedfeld and Marvin Knoll also on the score sheet for them. They just can't be stopped at the moment. They've had a few, you know, iffy games in between what has been a really excellent run, and I think Achim Bialoza deserves a huge amount of credit for what he has done with the side. And you know, they only keep going from strength to strength. I think Fortuna were very mentally weak to, you know, you have to be to give up a 3-goal lead after leading inside 15 minutes. And, you know, I think the chances that Osami and Raman missed at crucial stages in the first half really, really sort of did for their chances. And great goal from Jonas Niedfeld, it must be said. Really, really nice finish. And, you know, it just seems to be how Regensburg operate. It's another wonderful comeback. And Achim Bialoza, you know, to instill that in his players, you know, 2-0 down against Ingolstadt in the late stages of the game, 3-0 down after 15 minutes against Fortuna, to come back and win those games is absolutely fantastic. I think Fortuna will still be okay. It's another one of their little blips that they seem to be having during the season, and I'm sure they'll bounce back strongly and end up promoted come May. Moving on quickly to the game in Bielefeld. Another great game on Friday night. It was Dynamo Dresden that came out on top in that one. They won 3-2 in Bielefeld. A double for Lucas Wolfsar, who has really impressed me this season, and his partnership with Moussa Kone looks set to be, you know, destructive for every single team in the league. Whenever those two play up front together, good things happen. And, you know, this is the first time we've seen Dynamo go for a 4-4-2 from the very start, at least with those two up front. My goodness, did they cause problems from the first minute to the last. They look top class. Kone is an absolutely fantastic signing. I'm not sure how more clubs weren't interested in him. That's nothing against Dynamo, but, you know, that guy is destined for big things, I think. And Lucas Roser, of course, a fantastic finish from 30 yards out, does the simple stuff well. And you know, those two seem to have a real connection already after just a couple of weeks together. And, you know, if Dynamo can keep this side together, we talked about keeping last year's team together, I think these two can do more damage than Kutschka ever done. And, you know, if this team do stay together, as I said, I think we could be looking at Dynamo challenging for promotion next season. In terms of Bielefeld, I thought they were off the pace, you know, for such a big game, and one that really would have put them in the driving seat when it came to challenging for promotion. I thought they were quite poor. You know, from the early stages of the game, it was clear to see they were a little bit off the pace, and they rode their luck early on, you know, between the post, Stefan Ortega, another brilliant performance from him, and, you know, some poor finishing as well. They managed to hold on, get in front through Florian Hartertz, but, you know, I think the big positive for them is the fact that Andreas Vogelsammer got back on the score sheet, and for him to end his mini-goal drought, and end the goal drought for Armenia strikers in general. That's going to be a real positive going forward, and hopefully for their sake, he can find the back of the net along with Fabian Klose on a more regular basis. And I think if those two start firing, we're going to see them continue to push up the table. And, you know, they are still overperforming compared to where they were last season. And I think, you know, if the likes of Konstantin Kerschbaumer if they can keep him going into next season as well, just talking about where Dynamo could go from here, I think they'll be in a really good position to be one of those sides that challenge as well if they don't go up this year. So from there, we move on to the Saturday games, where there was, a lot of 2-1 wins. And it's to Berlin we head, and that's where we'll start with Union's 2-1 win against Sandhausen. Steven Skripski got the scoring off to an early start as he beat Marcel Schoen at his near post, one he certainly won't want to see again. And Union went from strength to strength in the first half. It could have been more before that. Sebastian Polter had a shot blocked by Marcus Kahl, but Christian Pedersen, I think he could be a surprise inclusion in the Danish World Cup squad. He got on the score sheet, tapping home after Mark Torrejon had cracked his header off the crossbar. But, after that, a really good first half, really clinical. Can't say anything bad about Union from that point of view. But in the second half, they really did slow up and almost paid the price. Philip Foster got Sandhausen back in the game after just 3 minutes of the second half. But for love nor money, and Dennis Linsmeyer's best attempts at trying to find a second goal, having the shot or his shot cleared off the line, it just wouldn't go in for them. Mark Torrejon, great performance from him, something that Ross highlighted. I thought he was excellent. But I suppose the big one is, why was Jens Keller not playing Steven Skripski? His 11th goal this season, I think, it's 6-6 or something like that now. Why was he not playing? I think Jens Keller definitely still would have been in charge if he had still been in the team. And really strange one, but Ander Hofschneider is certainly getting the best out of him, and it's really great to see. And it's no surprise that the likes of Stuttgart and I think Wolfsburg, or the other team mentioned, have been chasing him. Sandhausen, it's not a big loss. When these two sides meet, it tends to be home wins are the order of the day, apart from last season, I think, where Union managed to win in Sandhausen. But Sandhausen were, solid. It's a game that they maybe would have really targeted if they were going to have a real serious push at promotion. But, they're still only 3 points off that, or 2 points, sorry, off the promotion place themselves. And they've been excellent this season. For the amount of injuries that Kenan Kokak has had to deal with, it's been, almost otherworldly how Sandhausen, the club of Sandhausen's side, have managed to do so well despite, a relatively small budget compared to everyone else, and the fact that they've had to recruit Regional Liga players. But that's what Kokak knows best, and he's done an excellent job with it, so I expect them to bounce back without any real issue as the weeks go on. So the other, the biggest clash of the day going into Saturday's fixtures was Kaiserslautern's trip to Aue, and a massive win for Aue, 2-1 against Kaiserslautern. Pascal Koepke got the scoring started early. Just the second minute, he volleyed home from Christian Tiefert's corner. And Ridge Munsey, he's looked really, really lively when he's got the chance. He always seems to make things happen. He missed a real sitter at the start of the second half, but bounced back to collect Tiefert's pass, run round a couple of Lautern defenders, and then slot past Marius Müller. So, in terms of when it's playing on the counter, he does look to be a real threat for Aue, and good to see them scoring, getting a win, ending what has been a really miserable run for them. And I think they're going to start and build towards something more now. I think it's important for them to try and keep this run going. It's 3 games unbeaten, 2 draws, and of course this win. For Lautern, I think it was a case of a lack of Brandon Borrello. That really cost them. They didn't look nearly as creative as they are with him in the side. And the big thing for me was, I think they were tired after the Darmstadt game. That took an awful lot out of them. Great start, 2 goals up. But that defending towards the end of the game really, really took it out of them. And I think, had they have played that game and any other time and had a full week's rest for this one, I think we would have seen a different Lautern. But when Borrello's back in the side, I think we're going to see the same side that has been winning games under Mikael Fonsek. And 6 points to safety isn't that much, especially when you consider where they were when he took over. So I think there's more to come from Lautern, But yeah, it wasn't a great result, and I think if they had won that one, it would have blew everything wide open at the bottom. But as it stands, Awa in a really good position to try and beat the drop now. I'm going to leave the best in inverted commas to last when it comes to the Saturday games, and we'll head down to Franconia and to the Ronhof as Thuot got a very important 2-1 win over Eintracht Braunschweig. Khalid Nahai and Sebastian Ernst on the score sheet for them. Domi Kumbela almost missed from a yard out. He hit the crossbar twice before the ball finally went in. That was an impressive effort from him. But yeah, it was a really open game, really good game actually. I didn't think it would have been there would have been as many chances in this one. Sacha Boczot, he was excellent in goal. He has really impressed me since taking over from McGarry. And Damir Boric has been fully justified in managing to, turn this side around. And, that goalkeeping decision is one of many that has paid off for him. I thought Fulham were good, relatively solid in defence, and looked exciting going forward. I think Julian Green deserves a lot of credit. Didn't get a goal, did get an assist, set up Nahai with a really, hard hit flat cross that he managed to deflect past Yasmin Fejic. But it's the lack of a goal scoring centre forward that I think if Thuot do go down is going to cost them. I think, a side that has created so many chances in recent weeks and has relied largely on midfielders despite Ernst playing up front on Saturday, I think that's going to be the key if they do go down, which is a shame really because Sara Dursun proved last year that he can score goals, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out this year. Braunschweig, they continue to go one step forward, one step back. Consistency has cost what is a very, very talented squad, and one that was, majority was held together from last year's promotion push. But it seems that that third place curse and losing the playoff has hit another side once again, and it's a real shame that Braunschweig are the team to suffer because I think, most people have a certain affection to Thorsten Lieberknecht and everything that he's done in Braunschweig for the club, and it's a real shame to see them struggling, but I do think they'll be safe. I don't think there's any real problems there, and they themselves are only 8 points off the promotion places with 10 games to go, so everything is possible for everyone in this league, and I think that's the great thing about it. We just don't know how things are going to go. So that was certainly the case when it came to Duisburg against Ingolstadt. What else is there to say? Mark Flecken has gone viral. He's gone around the world for his mistake in Stefan Kutschka's equaliser. Amit Engin had opened the scoring after what I thought was a slightly dubious foul on Alfredo Morales that gave Ingolstadt the chance to take the lead. Mark Flecken then saved Kutschka's penalty. Unbelievable penalty save. Deserves an awful lot of credit for turning that one under the crossbar. Duisburg counter straight down the other end. Engen manages to clip home Poggenborg's cut back. 1-0, happy days. And then Enes Harai, his header goes in. No qualms, no queries, no one's offside. The linesman does give Stanislas Ilyuchenko offside. He wasn't offside, nor did he touch the ball, which made the decision even more curious. And from there, we've all seen the pictures, what has happened. I do feel sorry for Mark Flecken, one of the best goalkeepers in the league. Could easily play Bundesliga, as quite a few people have noted. But I think it's just a shame that of all the great things that has happened this weekend in this league, and there have been so many, that this is the one that we've ended up having to highlight. And, Jan Pfeiffer didn't have a good game at all, but his linesman really didn't help him out there. And I think, if that goal had counted, Duisburg would have gone on to comfortably win the game. They did win the game in the end, thanks to a really dubious penalty. Nuland goes up to catch the ball, as any goalkeeper would. Ilyuchenko backs into him. Ilyuchenko goes down. Nuland drops the ball. Somehow that's a penalty. Answers on a postcard as to why. But Ingolstadt, they're struggling to score at the moment. Yes, they managed to score in this game, but I think goals are what's going to cost them. I think Alex Hall pointed this out, that no matter who it is, they find it hard to find the back of the net. And when it comes down to it, they're still obviously in the promotion picture, but I think that's what could cost them going forward this year. Duisburg, however, Ilya Gruev has been magnificent as their head coach. They're a genuine promotion contender, level on points with Kiel as it stands. They're doing the business without what was Kevin Voltsa on Saturday, and without Colley, who was one of my players of the Hinrunde. I thought he was really excellent, but Amit Engin has came in and took over from him brilliantly. So there's now depth to that squad, and I think that's what's important going forward once they get Voltsa back. Not that Poggenberg did a bad job at all. Of course, he set up the first goal. I think, you know, they could, and they probably are at the moment, my favourites to claim third. And after all that excitement on Saturday, we headed to Sunday. And of course, one team and one game had to let the league down. I suppose we had to talk about it at some point, but Bochum, of all the teams to produce a 0-0 draw this weekend, it was Bochum. Why? it was 0-0 between Bochum and Nuremberg. Really good performance from Bochum, actually. I've been pleasantly surprised with Robin Dutt and his start. He has seemingly turned Sydney Sam around, which is a good start. Danilo was very good in combination with him down the left-hand side. Patrick Fabian, very strong in defence. It was a very good all-round performance, apart from when it came to finding the finish. But Fabian Braidlow did very well to deny Robbie Cruz, and Robert Tesche just wasn't meant to be in the day. Unfortunately, Nuremberg had their chances as well. Tobias Werner fired over, and Tim Hoogland managed to hook Federico Palacios Martinez's effort off the line just in time, as I thought we were going to lose once again. But thankfully, Bochum's defence held up. The defence is good. There's nothing wrong with Bochum's defence. It's just finding goals that is the problem. I think there's the fifth best defence in the league, but the worst attack. That says all you need to know about this season. It's been a lack of a goal scorer that has cost Bochum what has been one of the most open Zweite Bundesligas I can remember. Certainly most people can remember anyway. But Nuremberg, they're the best team in the league. That much is clear. They're going to get promoted. They'll probably win the league, and I would imagine they will be okay when it comes to going into the Bundesliga next year. I haven't seen anyone. I know I spoke about Dynamo playing very well, and on their day they're the best team in the league, but consistently it has been Nuremberg, and I don't think anyone will argue with that. But a good result for Bochum nevertheless, and Nuremberg didn't lose to their bogey team, so everyone was happy at the Ruhrstadion. For Darmstadt, it was, you know, a positive result considering they were down to 10 men for over 75 minutes. Emmanuel Hoon sent off for pulling back Robert Glatzel on his way through to goal after Kevin Collis had opened the scoring after just 7 minutes. They thought, well, they battled hard, and I thought a point was deserved when it came down to it. In the end, Jovan Jones came up with the goal, a fine header from Tobias Kempis cross. Those two seem to have a real partnership going, and as much as it's strange to say the two wingers have a partnership, they always seem to find each other when it comes to crosses, and I think that's a theme that we might see more and more often. Just wasn't happening in terms of finding a third goal in the game. I thought Heidenheim could have probably gone on to win the game and probably should have made more of their chances when they had them and with the man advantage. But Frank Schmidt not starting Mark Schnatterer. I mean, really, not starting Mark Schnatterer. I was just looking back, and I thought this was very strange. The three times in the last three seasons that Mark Schnatterer has came off the bench, match day 24, match day 25, and match day 24. There's something up there, Frank Schmidt. But yeah, another good result, and I thought, you know, that was back to the Darmstadt that we're used to seeing and their fighting spirit that we'd become accustomed to with Dirk Schuster. Not much to say about those games, but the other game on Sunday, in a snowy Hamburg, it was St. Pauli who came out on top against Kiel, who cannot win for love nor money at the moment. 11 games without a win. It's been this way since the 5th of November. Hard to believe for a side that, you know, was running riot through everyone in the league and everyone that came up in front of them. It's just not happening at the moment, and it's getting to the stage now where it's quite worrying. 10 games to go, 10 big games to go in the league this season, and if they don't start stringing together a couple of results, we could see them start and slide down the table. I don't think it's going to be a case where we saw Wolfsburg relegated last season, but The platform was there for them, but they just can't get over the line. It's really, really strange, and I'm not sure what it is. It's obviously a confidence issue now, but in the early stages, it was just a run of draws, and this is what it's turned into. Still, no real sign of Buadus or Sami Alagui managing to be consistent scorers, but 2 assists for Buadus, good performance from him. Richie Neudecker, I mean, that second goal, what a finish. That volley was absolutely fantastic. No chance for Kenneth Cronholm. Good instinctive tap in for the first. And, he almost scored a free kick as well and got the assist for Christopher Avivoise's winner. Can't ask for much more from him. I just think, you look at what 1860 Munich could have had. Felix Udokai, Richie Neudecker, Florian Neuhaus. What could have been? But that's not the case. They're not a Zweite Bundesliga side anymore, so we'll talk about them if they get promoted back again. St. Pauli, the pre-match display from the fans, I must say, was very cool, but a really good performance, a home win. We've seen how difficult it's been for St. Pauli to get over the line at home this season, and positive for them that they managed to obviously go ahead. Come back from 2-1 down and win it so late on. I think that's going to be a major confidence boost for them going forward. Now the task is to keep that consistency going. A really good win in Ingolstadt, a good win at home. If they can keep that going, I think they're going to be right up there come the end of the season. Kiel just need a win. I think if Kiel get a win, they'll hopefully, for their sake, turn into the side that we saw them be earlier on in the season. Goal scoring isn't a problem, but defensively it's been a real worry of late. And now, I don't know. Will we see them stick in that third place? They've managed to stick it out for this long. So, are they due a turnaround? I think so. The question is, will it come? That's a short roundup of all the games. So, now I'm going to go on to a few general bits and pieces and your questions. Okay, so on to the final section. There's only one little general pieces, or two, sorry, should I say, two general pieces of news that I want to touch on. Toulouse Knoll is to join Nuremberg from HSV. What HSV are doing, I'm not quite sure, but for Nuremberg to get a guy of his talent and his goal scoring reputation when it comes to Regionalliga, and someone at such a young age is fantastic, and I think that can only bode well going forward. And in terms of the kicker team of the week, it was Burchard, Kreuzer, Fabian, Schikos, Osami, Tiefert, Schnellhardt, Neudecker, Kone, Rosa, and Köpke. For any of you who are interested in my team of the week, it will be out. Should be out by the time this podcast is out, but if not, you'll find out afterwards. Now, lots and lots of questions this week. I really didn't expect such a great response, so thank you to everyone who sent one in. We'll start with Kevin, who asked, what is your surprise or disappointment of the match day? Surprise performance is, well, Regensburg, I think they take surprise of the match day, but that was extenuating circumstances. Normally, I would go for Bochum. I think their defence against Nuremberg was very, very good. Fürth had a good win against Braunschweig. Sorry, Kevin. Disappointment, probably Braunschweig, to be honest. I did think that going to Fürth after a couple of decent results, not in a row, but that really could have given them the confidence to go on and win this one. Wasn't to be, and back to where they are again. Tommy, who will finish third? I think it will be Duisburg, but that's going to change on a week-to-week basis. I would imagine there's, I wouldn't rule out teams within 10 points, put it that way. I think Bochum are within 10 points, so keeping my fingers crossed, however unlikely that may be. Aiden, are Kaiserslautern destined for the drop? I don't think so. I think there's still plenty of time left in this season for things to turn around. Nobody's managed to string a set of wins together, really. Kaiserslautern 3-4 was, very, very good. So if they can keep doing that, I think Borello is the main man there at the minute. And I think when he comes back, they should get back to where they were. Ian asks, will Fortuna get back on track sooner rather than later? I think they will. I think it's only a matter of time before Fortuna start to pick up again. When you've got Hamann, Neuhaus, those two guys are Bundesliga talents. There's no doubt about that. very solid squad around them. It's just one of those little blips that Fortuna have had this season. Lumpy Prawl asks, the points tally for automatic promotion to get into the playoffs and to stay safe? Good question. I don't think there'll be too much between safety and the playoffs when it comes down to it, especially with how tight things have been. We were talking about this last night, actually, and I actually think that your marks were pretty spot on. 40 for safety, 55 for the playoff, and automatic 60. I think, you know, those are pretty much spot on. The playoff could be a little bit lower just with how competitive things are. Maybe 50 points. I'm not quite sure. I don't think it's going to be the massive points totals that we could have seen from a team that could have been consistent the whole way through. But I suppose Nuremberg could go on and do that. Although there's so much to play for, everyone can beat anyone in a very literal sense. So it's anyone's game. I think your predictions at 60, 55 and 40 could be pretty much spot on though. Benny says, what sort of player is Sagis Adamyan? And a little something on Achim Bialoza. Adamyan, I've been really, really impressed with. As you said yourself, didn't have a great time in Rostock, but has been excellent since he moved to Jan. I really like him. He's very, very direct, always looks to go towards goal, has an eye for a pass as well, manages to finish off on a good majority of times as well. I think he's a really, really good player. I've been really impressed with how he's done this season. He's one of my signings of the season. I think I really didn't think he would be at this level of play, and he's proven me wrong, much the same as Achim Bialoza, and much the same as Jan themselves. I think they've been excellent. I think for Bialoza to come back in the Zweite Liga after what happened in Leipzig is, you know, a credit to him, and to do so well with a team that most people predicted to be at the wrong end of the table is phenomenal, and he deserves huge credit for that. Bundesliga fan, he asks, how do you assess Marvin Ducksch? Will he be a possible national team player? I think the amount of strikers that are ahead of him at the moment will be a problem. When it came to side of Bundesliga last year, we've seen, or the year before as well, we've seen Simon Toada, Niels Pettersson score plenty of goals, not get a look in when it came to the national team. Of course, Pettersson did end up at the Olympics, but I think if Ducksch can go back to St. Pauli or get promoted some other way, make a transfer, I think then when he gets into Bundesliga, we'll see whether or not Joachim Löw will take a closer look at him. Carl asks, prediction for the Franken Derby. Yes, my favourite Zweite Bundesliga fixture down recent years. I hope there's going to be goals again. I'm going to go for 3-2 to Nuremberg. Sorry, Danny, in advance, but I think home advantage and the fact that Nuremberg are so strong at the moment is going to tell, but I do think Fürth will run them close. That will be my game to watch next weekend anyway. Daniel Rosbach asks, what are Duisburg doing right? I think Duisburg are doing everything right at the moment, really. It's hard to pick out one area where they've been slack. I think, you know, if they had a recognised striker, that would really help. I know Boris Tashi has managed to find the back of the net on a regular basis, but I think, you know, if you're looking 10-15 goal a season striker, Duisburg would be right up there in terms of the top two places. But, you know, that comes from the strength in the wings, the strength in the middle, and the strength in defence. They've been very, very solid of late, and I think the recent run they're on shows what they can be capable of. Mike, you asked me 4 or 5 questions. I think I've touched on each of them individually while talking through everything, so I hope that clears things up. Just a note on Bochum's defending. I think Patrick Fabian deserves an awful lot of praise to come into that defence after Felix Bastian's had left and come back to what really has been old form. You know, after 4 cruciate ligament tears and so many setbacks, it's good to see him back playing again. And, you know, for Bochum, that can only be a positive. Helvoagen, I'll get there eventually. Is Kevin Stöger the best player in the league? I think he's not the best player in the league. I think his physicality is the one thing, and I spoke about this with Daniel before, his physicality is the one thing that stops him from being a Bundesliga player. I think technically and mentally, I think he can do everything that you want from a midfielder, but it's just that physicality that that lets him down at the end of the day. I think, Florian Neuhaus is probably the upgraded version of Kevin Stöger without the set pieces, and that's probably the closest comparison I could make. And I think when you look at Neuhaus and what he can do in midfield, that's maybe what Stöger is lacking a little bit. But yeah, definitely one of my favourite players to watch. So that brings us to the end of the first Zweite Bundesliga podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed. It's a little bit off the cuff, but I think, when it comes to my coverage on Twitter and whatever, it's a little bit off the cuff as well. And I think, you guys, at least the ones who've been wanting this podcast, appreciate how I cover the league. And I think, and I hope this will come across in the podcast as well. Yeah, so if you're still here, thank you very much for listening to me babble on for what seems like forever for you, I am sure. And I will speak to you again next week. Don't forget to send your questions in. I think if you download the app, the Anchor app, you can actually send me a voice recording of your message and I can play it in the show. So if that's something you're interested in, feel free to do it. I would be more than happy to feature you if you want. And I will post a link to the podcast when it's up and all the available sites and apps that you can get it on. So for now, enjoy the rest of your week. I'm sure you're looking forward to the Franken Derby as I am, and cheers.